Well, go on, Mr. Maps.
Yo, what it do, what it is?
What it is, big man, you're alive and kicking.
I'm alive. Anyway, yeah, we don't have a lot of time, so we're going to go straight into it. No niceties today. Where am I? Oh, my God, my mind is literally everywhere. But yeah, what people? I'm like, what the hell is going on? But yeah, guys, welcome back.
Are you okay?
Welcome
back. Have you opened the drinks already?
No, I'm good. No.
Seems like we are... Closed. Seems like a false start.
Yeah, Ramadan is in Nataman's prayer. It's the holy month. But no, guys, right. it's another episode of 6 Foot Weights. Your favorite cheese boys. My name is Tabo.
My name is Senna.
And yeah, we are here for a good time. Definitely not a long time because the management said you have an hour, so we have an hour.
Yes.
What did I want to say? Oh yes, quick point of order. The podcast was shot at, but by the two broke twimbos. Emphasis on the broke. No, I'm kidding. So what the implication was by Dan? Yes, it was Dan. Was that when me and Nat had the AI chat, we sort of misled people. I think what he was trying to get at is maybe we were a bit dramatic in terms of, so we were talking about how Sora, OpenAI has launched Sora, and it's basically the AI can create video, right? So you give it prompts, you know, give me a video of a black man on the beach enjoying a mojito, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it would give you that, right? So I think maybe the way that we explained it, or the way maybe it came off to Dan specifically, he was the one listening to the episode, was more of me and Nat saying, hey, it's coming to take our jobs, it's late, you know, type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'll just do a quick, just, you know, clarification. Although, yeah, again, for those who listen to the episode, from my side, I was most fearful for people who, if you're a photographer, videographer, whatever, and you thrive on, you know, companies, movies, all these different types of entities coming to you and saying, hey, we need Senna, we need you to license us your clip that you took at the top of Table Mountain, right?
Yeah,
we need that. So for people like that, where it doesn't need to be 100% perfect. This is not going in the next Marvel movie. This is, you know, like I said, I'm at game and I need a clip for my TVs to play over and over and over the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
That's where if you make your livelihood off of selling that type of footage, I think it's late for you. At that, those type of individuals, I would panic if that was my market, right? Because mm-hmm. again, why would I need to license your footage if I can just get something basic? Again, I'm selling TVs, yeah, right? And if you can give me a pretty video, and like I said on that week of the podcast, this is the worst that it's going to be, right? The way that it looks now is the worst that it's going to be. It's only going to get better over time. So if we're already starting at this point with some of the stuff that Sam Altman showed off on social media, yeah, uh-huh. it's pretty scary stuff. It's scary stuff at the end of the day, right? The conversation that Nat and I were having was like, if you look beyond what's happening right now, I think that's where a lot of the focus was. The reason why they're developing this AI technology is for AI general intelligence. There's actually part of the reason why, Sam Altman was fired. This is all allegedly, because again, all these different reports are coming out, right? But part of it was that he was sanctioning, they'd gotten the AI model to a certain point where it was almost, not almost thinking for itself, but that was what the goal was, to get the AI to think and reason for itself, right? Mm-hmm. And try to emulate human thought. It's got a special name, I'll look it up later, but it's Project something. If I'll Google it and then I'll blurt it out later once I find it. Like Project Star or something, right? But that's basically what people are like, oh, you know, the ethics of this, or the board fired him because they're like, hey, this is not ethical, blah, 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 if it gets into the wrong hands. Or some, like, he was literally on some Terminator shit, right? That's basically where it was going. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, at some point, this is going to get out of
control. So don't people think that it will? So I missed the episode of Two Broke Twimbos. So for them, just clarify.
They were more... They're more of those individuals where, for example, Tesla comes out and it's like, right, guys, electric vehicles, the time is now. And they're more of the, yes, one or two people will buy, but it's too expensive. You know, it's not going to dominate the market. Like, let's pump the brakes. That was kind of their perspective. Which, no, listen, Photoshop came out and... you know, it's not like painters went out of business, and you know, that's kind of how they were looking at it.
Well, okay, I think I see what you mean.
Yeah, so they were much more conservative in terms of, no, guys, really, don't worry. And I'm just like, yeah, right now.
In response to that,
you're correct.
In response to that, I'd say, once upon a time, Kodak used to be one of the biggest employers of people on this planet, weren't they? You know, today you struggle to find a Kodak retail outlet anywhere. Because they used to think that, no, people are still going to want physical photos, which is true. People do still like physical photos. But what then happened is, once everyone had the power to take their own pictures, people are like, nah, actually, I can live with the digital. And then social media absolutely killed them, where now I can share my photos with the whole world online and not have to worry about printing them and then putting them on a postcard or my Christmas card or hanging them at my house, or then circulating a photo album whenever I have visitors, you know what I mean, right? So look, I think there's good arguments on either side, 100%, but I do think we do have to be wary. I do think AI does pose a threat. I think the Terminator thing for me can happen only because I know Americans can do it. The only reason they're not doing it is literally ethical considerations. Like, no, legit. If these countries could send Iron Man soldiers, like these robots, to fight wars, I think they could do it. I 100% think they could do it. They're just not doing it just because the whole world would just freak out.
No, I think for a fact that the technology is not there yet, right? But here's what I would say, right? If I'm talking to Phil and Dan, right, I'm like, guys, forecast. And at the end of the day, if I am Jeff Bezos, if I'm Elon Musk, who was another Richard, Microsoft, Bill Gates, there we go. So if I'm one of these billionaires and many others, right, especially Jeff Bezos, for example, with the business that he runs at Amazon. Amazon is notorious for overworking people. Like, some of the warehouse horror stories that you hear are crazy, right, at Amazon. If I'm Bezos, I'm going to companies like OpenAI and be like, hey, yo, do you guys need $1 billion? I'm willing to invest $1 billion or whatever it is in OpenAI's R&D, because the eventual goal is, I want AI to get to a point where I can start cutting jobs, because guess what? That's more revenue, that's more profit for me. The less people I have to pay, the better. The more I can automate a process, the better. So like, when you have people that rich and that powerful in those influential positions, again, Sam Altman is not going to refuse Jeff Bezos money. He's not going to be like, oh no, Jeff, actually, I know what you eventually want to cut jobs, so we're not going to take this money from you. They'll take it and they'll continue to develop and maybe get to the, I'm not saying it's guaranteed we're going to get there, but they definitely try, right? Innovation never stops. You don't get there. And that's why people are having ethical conversations, but like, right, guys, where do we draw the line? Do we just continue to develop language models? Or is the big picture to develop general artificial intelligence?
Didn't Microsoft try to acquire OpenAI?
I think
during that whole scandal with the CEOs and
they got the CEO, so they got Sam Altman, right? They were like, hey, pull up and all this. I don't think they were trying to acquire.
Oh OpenAI. Yes, sorry, they got him to join Microsoft.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a whole, you know, drama with that whole situation. But I just think it would be leaning towards the naive side to be like, ah, no, guys, don't worry. it's not gonna happen. It's more of, I'd say, don't worry, not now, but salukezile, bro. You know what I mean? Like,
stay ready,
because at some point, again, when like ChatGPT became a thing, it wasn't like one of those things where we were like, oh yeah, this is about the time we're ready for ChatGPT. Like, it happened, they launched it, and it was like, oh shit, look at this, look at what they can do. And then all of a sudden, AI just became a buzzword, right? Mm-hmm. The same way at, you know, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, analytics became a buzzword. And then no one could not stop saying, what's this thing? Analytics in football, hey, the analytics. In basketball, the analytics. In business, the analytics. You know what I mean? Like, it's as if just we one day woke up as a society and analytics became, data became mm-hmm. currency. And it's the same way AI has become.
And this is, I'm literally, side note, this is just a pain point for me, right? In contracting, all that everyone cares the most about nowadays is data. What are you doing with the data? Where is the data stored? What kind of data are you collecting? What are you doing with it? Who are the sub-processors? Where are these located? Okay, what measures are in place? Yo, dude, I'm just a lawyer. I don't even do privacy law, right? But over the last two years, data has become like such a big thing. It's now like the biggest, whether you're in tech or in fintech, or I know a lot of finance clients are always big on, okay, but what happened to our data? It's become
no, because data is
it's the modern day gold, it seems.
Absolutely. It's huge, and rightfully so, because the amount of things I can do with Senna's name and Senna's email address, just that. I haven't even gone to banking information or anything. Just your name and your email address. So much. Okay. There's so much in that. Throw in your mm-hmm. phone number, even worse. Right? This is not even in I'm trying to scam you or steal your money. This is just in business terms. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, social media got huge, because it became this thing of like this huge data bank, right? And then advertisers and businesses are like, oh my God, Facebook, you have so much data. We will pay out the ass for access to some of this data, right? And that's where we are as a society right now, because reaching people and, you know, the globalizing of the economy, the world economy, has shifted things dynamically. Before, it wouldn't have been a big thing, because obviously it's data in, this is Joburg data, this is Zim data, you know what I mean? Like, it was very kind of, you know, specific to that area. But now being able to access the whole world at once through data is insane. But anyway,
it's actually a good opportunity to leverage to that thing you sent me to read up on before.
Well, yes. So we're coming to that. So I just wanted to like just put a bow on this and be like, all right, so that's just to be clear, you know, in case anyone felt the same and are like, oh, we're being a bit too overly dramatic. It's like, guys, look down the line, you know, innovation doesn't stop, especially with us as human beings. We're gonna push, because that's how we're wired. We'll push it until it's not pushable at the end of the day, and see what we come up with. It might not be, the final result might not be general artificial intelligence. It could be worse, or it could be significantly dumbed down. Who knows where things could go. But again, there are people who are very, very vested in such investments, and they want this to go to those extreme limits. And let's see if we make it. If not, hey, we dodged a bullet. But if we do, we're gonna have some tricky conversations as a society, you know, at the end of the day. But anyway, big news that came out also in the last week or so: the US government is suing Apple. Yes, it is suing one of their own biggest companies in the world. Apple is valued at just under $3 trillion. How many Zimbabwe's is that, Zen? Like, $3 trillion. That's one company, one American company valued at that amount. Mm-hmm. Insane. And then obviously someone tweeted out, a friend of mine tweeted, she was like, you know, what was it? There's no way you make that type of money on ethical grounds. Obviously, you did something that's shady. Like, if you can't be a billionaire, well, let alone trillionaire, either company or individual, and you haven't done some shady stuff. And that's exactly what the US government is arguing, that Apple is violating antitrust laws. I'll lean on you in terms of, did you go over the charges of what they're accusing Apple of, or should I go over that?
I can go into it, or you can actually just explain what they're doing, okay. Then we can get into it.
So the Department of Justice in America, a big picture, believes Apple is violating the antitrust laws, right? They've basically become a monopoly. And it is illegal, if I understand correctly, in the US to be a monopoly in a particular industry. And that's what the antitrust laws are there to stop, you know, yes. companies from getting to. What they mm-hmm. cited specifically was that Apple is not just relying on their own technology to be the best in the game. They're actually outwardly ruining the market for competitors at the end of the day. So making it specifically hard for developers, making it hard for developers to develop certain apps that would mm-hmm. lessen the importance of having an iPhone. The mm-hmm. other big one was, non-Apple products do not work well with an iPhone. So again, the incentive, they're basically trapping their customers in the Apple ecosystem and not allowing other people to compete fairly. So if it's yeah. a case of Senna has a smartwatch and you just don't like it, send a smartwatch for whatever reasons, no problem, that's fair competition. But if I restrict Senna's smartwatch from functioning to its full potential with my device, then that's not necessarily fair. So those are some of the big arguments that they were making at the end of the day, and that it's making it specifically in the US economy very, very hard for any other competitor of Apple on any platform, whether it's smartwatches, smartphones, or whatever it is, to compete in a free, you know, market economy. So that's basically what they were charging Apple with. It's going to take years mm-hmm. before we get a verdict, as usual, which is really, you guys need to figure out a way to speed up some of these things, guys. Like, I was hoping by the end of the year, that's me as an individual, I'd love for court cases of this magnitude to be resolved and judged by the end of the year, but obviously you know, it doesn't happen that way. What could you also explain why does it take so long? Why do court cases take years in general? Since there's court, there's a fight that's going on, right?
Yeah. So they take years because one, I don't know how to put it, one, if I say Thabo did this to me, Thabo's not going to just show up at court and be like, yeah, I did it, uh-huh. right? Uh-huh. I was going to show up at court also saying, no, this didn't happen. Uh-huh. And then I will then have to bring evidence, right? A lot of evidence. Oftentimes, yeah. it takes a lot to collect. So sometimes it can even take years to just gather some things, or even months just to gather some things. And then you'll come there.
Months is understandable, but like, can't you then show up to court? So if you accuse me of something, right? Like mm-hmm. you said, Thabo did this. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, no, he's lying, Your Honor, he's lying. Mm-hmm. And then the courts be like, okay, sharp, let's set a date for trial 6 months later. Yep. Is 6 months not enough to gather the information that we need for the courts to be satisfied?
It can be, but then there's things that happen during the trial, right? So maybe now okay. Thabo said, I would like to introduce another witness. Uh-huh. And I'm like, no, but why are you telling me now that you want to introduce this witness? Who is this witness? Then you're going to have what they call a trial within a trial. So now there's a whole okay. week of proceedings dedicated to just whether or not this witness can testify. And then once the witness testifies, then there's days on yeah. days of arguing that testimony and cross-examining and all of it. So look at the OJ case, for example, right? That went on yeah. for... I mean, I believe they say he committed the murders in 1994, and then his sentencing only came in like over a year later. So it took a year. Oscar Pistorius also took 2 years.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. I understand. A year, you know, I can understand a year of these proceedings, right? But like, remember, who was that South African guy? The Vodafone thing. How long was that?
But you see, what's happened with that is... What's happened with the Vodafone guy is, he made the allegations, right? He issued summons.
Yeah.
Then they went to court, yeah. And then they were like, no, it's time barred. So then there had to be a whole case about whether or not the case should be heard. So there was a trial about whether or not it's still within, you know, the stipulated amount of time. That's basically the claim has expired.
When he initially went to court, we were talking about 2005 or 6 or somewhere there, right?
Hmm.
Yeah. And then this verdict only came out this year. Or maybe the end of last year.
End of last year, basically. But mostly been
that's
sorted out this year,
like,
right?
15 years, dog.
Mm-hmm. But that's because the individual cases, if you look at the individual cases, they're probably not that long. But then have a look at the number of courts that they've appealed to. So it starts off in the High Court. Then it goes to the Supreme Court. Then it goes to the Con Court. Then the Con Court says, no, this should go back to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court decides, and then Vodafone is going to take them back to the Con Court again. So these are all probably two-year trials, which are all happening one after the other. And I think Vodacom is literally going to do this until this guy dies, just to frustrate him.
No, but I'm going to pay. What do you mean?
So what happened now is, so the Con Court has been like, no, he needs to be awarded this money. Vodafone is now Vodacom is now appealing that.
Oh. And the appeal can take another 2 years?
Mm-hmm. It can take another 2 years or another year.
Oh, man. And then is there another level that can go after that?
No, the Con Court is meant to be the apex court, like the Supreme Superior Court.
Yes. Yes.
But you can appeal to the same court about like something different.
Like, what do you mean when you say something different?
So, for example, now you're appealing...
Like, make another point.
Yeah, whether or not we should be paying that money. So, you've accepted the charge. You've accepted which I'm liable. But now you're like, no, but am I liable for 28 billion? Let's negotiate down.
So, to try and... Okay, let's see. Let's bring that number down.
Mm.
And then if they agree... Exactly. Let's say, whether they agree or they disagree... At that point, once that decision is made at the appeals, if you lose or win the appeals, there's no more. Okay.
There's all right. No more.
But still, my point still stands, bro. Like, it's like some of these court cases. Like, so, okay, realistically, do you have any knowledge on, like, with this Apple case, for example, with the DOJ, what's your timeline? What do you think realistically, if you have knowledge of US courts?
So, probably these guys will file the lawsuit. Apple's going to come back with their counterclaim, whatever it is, and deny. Then it'll go back and forth about whether or not certain evidence must be admitted. Some people even go as far as saying this shouldn't be heard in this specific court. So now you're arguing jurisdiction for a week. Petty, petty, petty.
But ethically speaking, to be a lawyer, guys, like, it's just... well, at least on the Apple side, right? The person who's, or the company that's being prosecuted, like, do you not feel a bit dodge when you come and make some of these cases? Because it's really like, Senna, just make an argument out of your ass that sticks.
Yeah.
Where the Apple won't care as long if you get it. Let's say, you know, because, like, you know, obviously you watch Suits, right? That's my reference for law and shit. So there were episodes where it was like, no, this judge was a chlupa. We need to make an argument to just get it out of his court. And let's put it in this other judge's hands or whatever. But, like, ethically speaking, it's all types of dodge, you know?
It is, technically. Look, it is. It is. It's going to feel dodge in that way, but it's all within the rules, right? So a lot of this stuff is accounted for in a certain rule. There's a rule that says that, you know, you can't... There's no trial by ambush, right? So don't ambush me in court. Everything that's brought up in court, we have to have discussed before, especially evidence. Then the only thing left is our actual arguments, right? So all these things exist in the legal framework. It's just lawyers exploiting it. What I wanted to ask is, do you think that Apple has a monopoly like that?
I, as one of the prisoners of Apple's monopoly, I am tall, definitely. I 100% agree. Like, so initially when I heard that the DOJ was suing what's this thing, Apple, and why they were suing Apple, I didn't agree, because I thought it was just like they just say, oh, Apple, your ecosystem is too good, that's not fair to others. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an incredibly weak argument, right? But then when I started to read more and look into it in a lot more detail, they made a very, very fair case in terms of two things that stuck out to me. Number one, making other third-party devices worse when they pair with your device, that is not fair.
Mm.
I think let it function, like, so they gave the Apple the example of, like, if you use a smartwatch that's not an Apple Watch. So the watch itself, right, the third-party smartwatch, let's say, has the ability, if Senna gets a text message, you can use the watch to respond to the text message, right?
Yeah.
The notification of being like, bing, Tabo said, just keep on. And then you have the ability to watch, to respond on the watch.
To respond on the
but
watch.
But when you pair it to an iPhone, iPhone restricts that. So all you see is my message. All your watch can do is show you my message, but you can't use the watch's function to respond.
So that's another smartwatch, not Apple.
Yeah, so that's a non-Apple smartwatch that okay. you use on your iPhone.
Which you now can't use on your iPhone because it's limited.
Yeah, which the whole thing is to frustrate you, because you're going to be like, bro, I bought this smartwatch because I want to be able to do A, B, and C, but akusebenzi, so I guess I need to buy a what? I need to buy an Apple Watch.
Okay.
That's basically
but
where they're trying to leech you.
But we've been knowing Apple's like this, right? Back in the days where...
Yeah, but it's not fair.
Yeah, 100%. But from time, they have always led with just that exclusivity on a phone that can't do what an Android does. I remember when I had a Samsung some 11 years ago, 10 years ago. Basically, you could download a song online. Nothing was restricted. I don't have to use or access my music only through Apple Music. You know, they basically championed a way for us to legally enjoy music. Because back in the day, as Kumin Klingi, so it was burning, it was USB, it was downloading, it was all these things, which now we're all streaming it legally. Haven't we all matured? So I look at it that way, and I say they've been doing this. Back with, you know, with the, whatchamacallit, the MacBook. I could be using any PC in the world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Could be using any PC. Then if I plug in an iPhone, I can't do the normal data transfer unless I download, what was it, iTunes?
Mm-hmm.
Just to be able to use your USB on your phone, unlike other phones where you plug it in and then it works like a memory device. So I see what you mean.
Yeah, I mean...
Mm-hmm. But I'm like, well, maybe they're well entitled to do that, because you could argue Guti, they lost a lot of money in the beginning stages with some of these requirements.
But I mean, again, the fight, these antitrust laws are there. But I'll give you an example, right? Initially, Microsoft was the big dog with Internet Explorer. Believe it or not, Internet Explorer was the shit at some point in time, right? But the US government also came after Microsoft, because they were saying that, you know, what they were doing with Internet Explorer back in the day was monopolizing the web browser market, right? And had they not done that, you're not going to get what Microsoft was doing, especially they were the big dogs back then, right? You were never going to get, you potentially never going to get stuff like other web browsers and Apple iPod and different types of devices that were made by different companies, right? Because at the end of the day, Microsoft was flexing their muscles. They were in the market like that, and they were cornering everybody, be like, look, it's us or nothing, right? And if it's one of those things where you are just better, there's no issue with that, right? That's that's capitalism, right? But if it's a case of you're not allowing any other ideas to circulate, because people are just going to be like, no, right now, it's just so easy and convenient for me to be in the Apple ecosystem. And what's the complaint about iPhones every single year for the last, let's say, even 6-7 years? They're the same phone. Mm-hmm. And Apple prices just keep getting higher and higher. Mm-hmm. At some point, a brand new iPhone usually was Google. I think they were releasing at like $600-$700. That used to be the cost of a brand new iPhone. Mm-hmm. And we're now all the way up to $1,200 for the
iPhone. Now you can't buy cash now. Every phone that you buy may retain you on credit by contract.
It's for you to let go of 1.2 straight. Right, for a phone that again has had minimal improvements. The reason as a company we can do minimal improvements and be okay knowing which of the money is still going to roll in for this year in 2024 mm-hmm. is when we know we have a monopoly, right? So like if you look at Samsung and what they're doing with their phones and all these other Android phones, like they're doing backflips in terms of trying to do this, and like this year the Galaxy Ultra 24 25 whatever it is, Air Samsung, they've incorporated all these AI features and all these different things. They're doing gymnastics, mm-hmm. right? Apple hasn't done gymnastics in a while. The only reason the 15 Pros, or I think it's, or I don't know if it's all the 15s are now on USB-C, is because the EU was like, yay, Lina, I'm according Lao, ask Apple, get rid of them. So move from Lightning to USB-C, and we're going to keep shit uniform in Europe. And because of the pressure that the EU put on Apple, they changed. They're like, all right, fuck it. Let's do, what's this thing called? USB Type-C. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Apple was going to stay on Lightning cables, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because they didn't need to. But when the seat got hot, then things changed, right? So that's the big thing at the end of the day when it comes to Apple and innovation. We want them to innovate. We want them to get better at the end of the day. So I'm pro this suit. If it goes through, but they really have to hammer the points off. They are destabilizing the market.
I also don't like I don't like the exploitation. No, I think they've become a very exploitative company, and the iPhone Absolutely. Is a very exploitative product. Got one last year, and then the box came, right? You know, it had been a while since, because I tend to keep phones for a long time, so it's been a while since I got a phone fresh from the box. And I remembered it from the last time I got a phone fresh from the box. When I got it the last time, I had earphones. It had a charger, which is USB cable and the charging head. I mentioned earphones, right? Mm-hmm. And that was all in the box. I opened this Apple box last year. There's just the phone and the cable. No charger head.
Yeah.
No earphones or headphones. Nothing. Nope. It's just the phone and the cable. You're done. I remember thinking to myself, now I must go spend. And here they're expensive. I don't know about in Dubai. But here a new iPhone cable, brand new from those iStores, is... how much is that? 500 Rand? I won't mention AirPods. AirPods are like $3,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So now I must spend another 3.5 to get things that used to come in the box for free. That's big monies.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And again, you only get away with that if that's the only choice. So like, I'll quickly go over to kind of contextualize for anyone listening what the United States government did with Microsoft, right? This, because obviously this will be used as precedence, I'm assuming, if my knowledge of suits can help me at any point. But basically, what it says, the United States versus the United States of America versus Microsoft Corporation was a landmark American antitrust law case in the United States Court of Appeals, blah blah blah, District of Columbia. The US government accused Microsoft of illegally monopolizing the web browser market for Windows, primarily through legal technical restrictions it put on the abilities of PC manufacturers and users to uninstall Internet Explorer and use other programs such as Netscape and Java. So at the initial trial, the US government ruled that the U.S. states or district of court in Colombia ruled that Microsoft's actions constituted unlawful monopolization under Section 2 of the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890, And then Batwa, the US Court of Appeals in DC, partially overturned that judgment. The two parties later reached a settlement in which Microsoft agreed to modify some of its business practices. So that's what most experts think. Oguti, it's going to end very, very similar to this. Oguti, again, Apple will not be fined and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. It will probably end up in some settlement where Apple goes, okay, we're going to make things easier. So like the other thing as well, for additional context, is with the developers were complaining, we're developing apps for the Play Store, the Apple Store, and Apple gets a 30% share of that, right? They charge you 30%, I think it's either per download or whatever it is, of the amount of money that you would make, which they think is flagrantly high. The other part of it is, so yeah, everybody knows what Apple Pay is, right? So we all have these mobile wallets, and we put our credit cards and, you know, boarding passes and all these movie tickets, all goes in that Apple stock wallet, right? There's other companies and other apps that basically do the same thing, right? But they are not allowed to be, Apple doesn't basically let them function. So the tap to pay function is only for that standard Apple wallet that you have on your Apple device. No other tap to pay function is allowed on an iPhone. That's what they're saying. And that's not fair. So basically, the reason, the financial reason of why that's a big deal is apparently Apple gets 0.15% of all transactions. Every time you tap and you make a transaction
on through Apple Pay.
Apple Pay, they get 0.15% of that. That results in, so apparently, I think it was, the guy was saying last year, it was about $200 billion that was just made in revenue.
Just from that zero point.
In terms of Apple Pay transactions, they totaled around 200 billion globally, right? And of that 200 billion, the revenue Apple got from that, of getting that 0.15%, was about $300 million. So again, that's 300 mil that you get as revenue because you're not allowing any other apps to have that have the tap to pay function to function on your phone, right? So there's a lot of restricting that Apple that goes is doing on at the end of the day. Exactly. And then the other part of it was there's these apps called super apps, right? And an example of a super app is WeChat, right? WeChat is huge in China.
Didn't they ban WhatsApp? And then people use WeChat?
Yeah, so I think it is a Chinese company, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, it's big in China, but they call it a super app just because apparently you can do everything on it. You can pay for shit, you can chat, you can do... It's got a bunch of super different functions, right? Mm-hmm. It's a super app. So apparently Apple doesn't allow it or it's restricted. I don't know what the technical, you know, jargon of it is. But if they restrict apps like that, which they call super apps, because they reduce the individual's reliance on the iPhone itself. So if your app can do a million things, or not a million things, but if it can do six things that now I don't necessarily need my iPhone for, right? Mm-hmm. So if I have two phones, I've got WeChat, I can just keep my wallet, right, on my WeChat, and then I've got my Samsung, and I've got my iPhone, and then at least I know I'm not going to be... I don't need to add my card details all over the place, right? Yes. So stuff like that, right? Less need for me to have my iPhone next to me. And they don't like that, you know? So they stop you, they restrict you from doing that. So all these things have resulted in Apple
monopoly. I don't know. The way you're explaining this, and, you know, big up the explanation, by the way. Yeah, that was powerful. I feel like every day we're being manipulated. How do I feel like my destiny every single day is not decided by me? It's decided by
people in
an office in America, you know?
Yeah.
That's who decides how I pay for stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think about some of these things, it's scary, fam. It's scary, which is why I was shocked by the nonchalantness of Dan and Phil, where it was like, with that AI, I'm like, listen, fam, if these men are doing this at this level, fam, the investments that are going on in the background, like, these are not good people.
these guys are chasing the dole
by any means necessary.
They don't care. They don't care about you. Oh, by the way, so
no,
you're just to them a money making machine, right?
You're a number.
You're a number, right? It's a user number, whoever.
A comma on the spreadsheet.
With serial number XYZ using iPhone, blah, 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 located from Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, or Harare, Zimbabwe, wherever you are, right? So that's all you register, but you're registering in the sense that it's, oh, okay, in this month alone, I've used $5 from Mtogo and Tabo. Tapping everywhere they went. Worse if you go, if you're one of those groove types who go to these festivals where you're just tapping the whole weekend, tapping for drinks here, tapping for that there, and whatever. To them, you're revenue, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, think about how much stuff, like for me, if I go through my standard day when I go to work, right? I'm going to use my Apple Pay. In the morning, I'll buy coffee. In the afternoon, I'll buy lunch. And then, you know, plus or minus another two times when I might buy something during the day. Maybe, I don't know, it's clothes or some random thing that I need to buy or pay for or whatever, right? Like, there's something will come up, right? So, on average, 2 to 3 times a day, I'm tapping. That's one individual. Now, how many people globally have iPhones and are actively using their Apple Pay, right? Like I said, $200 billion in transactions. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of tapping. So that alone, fam. So obviously, if I know it's $200 billion in transactions, obviously, as an innovator and as an entrepreneur, I'm going to be like, yo, Senna, let's get in on this business, right? Let's create a wallet. Let's do this. Let's have ideas. But if Apple's going to be restricting us and not letting our app function to its highest tier, that is, you know, monopoly behavior, right? That is violating antitrust. Like, that's the argument that I would be making. But I don't know, but Apple was probably going to fight back and be like, no, Tina, we're just, you can't come for us for being so good at what we do. That's basically what the argument is going to be, which, who knows, it might hold. But I was shocked that I didn't know about the case against Microsoft. When I learned about that, I was a lot less shocked. I was like, oh, okay, so there's precedent. They've done this before, you know. But I was shocked that they'd do that to their own American companies, especially because of what was happening with TikTok, with the American government at the same time. That one made more sense. And we're about to come to that as well. A lot of suing and shit going on and politics going on these days in the world. But this, to me, was, it felt historic, but now it's not necessarily that historic, since it's like, we're just running it back. And I'm sure there's other similar cases. But yeah, it's if you have a company valued at just under $3 trillion, what do you expect? It has to be a monopoly. Like, it's just, you don't get that type of valuation. You know what I mean? You don't get that type of religious following of their devices and all this other stuff if your shit is not airtight. Airtight, you know? And that's what they're doing. They're squeezing everything to make sure what you have. Oksalayo is when Tabo is ready to buy a new phone.
So he's coming to us. So why do we like iPhone so much as people? Why do we like
it? It's the ecosystem,
Apple?
Bro.
No, but why?
To be fair to Apple, right? It is an amazing, they make amazing products. To be fair to them, 110%, I believe they make amazing products, right? Without all of this other dodgy business, put that to the side, they make amazing products. That's number one, right? So you can't even, remember we were having that conversation of Uti, you know, is when Cat Williams said, not Kendrick, talking about Kevin Hart, industry plant, right? You can be an industry plant all you want, but if you're whack, you're whack. That's just what it is. If you're whack, you're whack. And even if Kevin Hart was an industry plant, he killed it, right? He was funny. He took advantage of that opportunity, and he's made himself millions and millions of dollars in the last 20 years of his career. So I'm not against industry plants, because at the end of the day, either we fuck with you or we don't. And it's the same thing with Apple, right? Like, you have to have a good product. And if you don't have a good product, right? Like, again, if they never checked Microsoft, then, you know, Safari and all these other things, like, we don't get that, or they don't get developed because they're just looking at, oh, you know, like, they're not going to let it on a Windows computer, or you can't uninstall it. This is our Opera. At some point, we had an Opera browser coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all these different things, like, they never happen because Microsoft are the big dogs out there. So you do need these checks and balances. But I think Apple have a great product. They have a great line of products that work so well together. Like my AirPods, when I have my my AirPods in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can listen to music. And then when I decide, okay, you know what? I'm listening to music. I'm like, okay, I'm going on lunch. I grab my iPad. I'm like, okay, I'm on YouTube on my iPad and I want to play a video. I don't even have to switch. You know, like, so like if you just had generic.
Does that not scare you, right? Though?
What exactly are you asking?
That synergy of technology all around you.
I love it. Personally, I love it. I think it's amazing. I think it's efficient. Like, any way you can just save on time and make life simpler. I'm all for it.
In a deeper sense, though, does that concept not freak you out? That you have your cell phone, you're carrying these wireless earpieces, you put down your cell phone, you pick up another device. Yeah. Which you bought separately, and then the AirPod that you have in just connect automatically as if nothing happened, and you just transitions.
Yeah, that's just to me. That's amazing. That's innovation. Like, let them talk to each other. Like, and that's the thing with the ecosystem that makes, once you're fully in the ecosystem, you have an iPad, you have a MacBook, all these other things. Send out like the link I sent you for the Zoom call. Yeah.
Yeah.
I sent it on iMessage
on
my laptop. And if I need that link again and I need to send it on WhatsApp, for example, all I'm doing is going on iMessage on my iPhone and I can easily get that link and then go to WhatsApp on my phone, right? Or which is just knowing that I don't need to now. So maybe Bluetooth and I must now send this and if I could drive.
I started off defending Apple, I think, when we started this topic. I think I've switched.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I've done a 180. I think just listening to you describe listening to me describe how they've got you, right?
Yes.
As a company.
Yes.
To an extent where if another company anywhere in the world made the most brilliant tablet, nothing we've ever seen before, more efficient, whatever it is. Maybe it's touchscreen both sides or whatever. Right,
Spencer touchscreen
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm listening.
It may be the most innovative thing to ever come out of San Francisco, China, Japan, wherever. You wouldn't buy it because you know you'd feel like, oh, how do I introduce this new device into my ecosystem?
It would depend, right?
No, because the Apple ecosystem then has got you.
Yeah, no matter, as of right now,
if anyone else makes a better smartwatch, if anyone else makes a better tablet, or if anyone dares to make a better listening device or earphones, right?
Yeah,
because I think companies like Sony are more than capable of doing that. I do think they probably might.
They probably have better headphones. Sony, in general. Bose.
Mm-hmm.
You
get to that point where someone's made that big device, you're not gonna be as keen. Because, what about my AirPods? Because it will ruin the ecosystem that's been created around me.
No, but Senna, listen, this is where I feel like you're missing it slightly.
I'm not missing it.
I'm happy. Yeah, no, but I'm saying with respect to me.
Okay.
With respect to me.
Okay.
I am a follower of innovation, right? I love companies that innovate. So right now, yes, I'm within the Apple ecosystem, but Samsung is my favorite company at the moment because of what they're doing with foldables. So I own a Galaxy Fold 5 right now. I bought that phone because I was like, hey, this is innovative. This is cool. I want that, right? So I have both. I have an iPhone and I have the Galaxy Fold, right? So if something comes up, if headphones come up that like are amazing and it's they outshine AirPods completely, best believe I'm going to get myself a pair, right?
But
it's just one of those things where such a small chance that you're going to go do that only because it took having a folding phone. I'm like, yo, this phone folds in half. That's really, really cool. That's what it took for me to step out to a certain extent of the ecosystem. So when you have a brilliant ecosystem, the threshold to get people to voluntarily leave it is much higher. And but I do not believe there's no problem.
But that's the monopoly
in terms of competition.
But that's the monopoly that I think the US government is talking about, right? So think of it this way.
No,
back to the example. Wait. Back to the example that you gave, right? You were on your phone. You send me the notification. Oh no. Maybe let's not talk about the notification now. Let's talk about lunchtime. You're on your phone watching something through your headphones. Then you're going for lunch, you pick up your iPad. But if you didn't have AirPods, that smooth transitioning that you were raving about doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yes. I have to manually say connect.
But that's a monopoly.
Whatever design.
That is a monopoly.
But that's the ecosystem doing what it's supposed to do. Like, I think Samsung devices, because there's Samsung buds, right? So I'm sure, I was watching a video, I need to go and finish that video, because there is a chick who was using, she said, I'm going to try the Samsung ecosystem, and let's see how that goes. Of which, I'm like, bro, I don't know enough about the Samsung ecosystem right now, but if I'm Samsung, I should have a better ecosystem, because guess what? Samsung makes so many more devices.
No.
TVs, soundbars, fridges, and microwaves. But the thing is, you can do so much more.
And I think you can. But I think what probably Samsung is saying is, well, we're not trying to have a battle of ecosystem. We're trying to have a battle of products, right? Don't let it be a thing where I must now make a TV, headphones, soundbar, and all these things that communicate with each other to rival your ecosystem as well. No, let's go bar for bar. Who's got the better phone now?
No, but Stella,
who's got
that's
the better
though.
Headphone now?
Mm.
You get what I mean? Because if you don't do that, you do create a monopoly.
Okay, but hold
a
wide
on. Range of
question.
Products.
Question: if you have right, if we go to the South African mobile networks, right, Cell C. I don't even know if Cell C still exists, but MTN versus Vodacom, right? Let's just focus on that, right? If Vodacom, let's say MTN, because apparently the standard in South Africa is that Vodacom has the best coverage in South Africa, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So if you know, as a mobile network, as MTN or even Cell C, you know, we can never compete with Vodacom at the network coverage side of things. They've got that part of it locked down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we all offer similar services at the end of the day with mobile networks. But if we say, but Oksalayo, us with our shitty mobile coverage, let's go with Cell C, because Cell C typically has shitty mobile coverage around the country.
Yeah.
If I'm Cell C, and I'm like, okay, we don't have the best coverage, but guess what? We're going to make our airtime cheaper. We're going to allow you to pay almost nothing to get the latest iPhone, and our phone plans are going to be cheaper. And this and that, you build the ecosystem, and we'll give you internet as well, internet services. Obviously, you're paying an extra premium for that, but we'll give you that in one nice bundle, right?
Mm.
And Cell C is doing that, and people go in droves towards Cell C. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that in a competition economy, right? Even if Cell C, you know, becomes monopolistic in terms of no one wants to go to Vodafone or Vodacom rather, or MTN, even though they have got much, much better coverage. People are happy with shitty network because they get so much out of what? Their Cell C bundle. I don't have any issues with that from Cell C's point of view. That's just good business. But if what Cell C does or their business practices is restricting Vodacom from being great as Vodacom, or restricting MTN from being great on their own, then that's where the problem is. And that's where the US government has to focus on their argument. Because if they don't, then it's just a simple argument of, oh, so you guys are complaining with Apple has a fantastic ecosystem and others don't. If I'm a judge, I'm laughing you out of court, fam. Like, don't waste my time. Because that's not breaking antitrust laws. There's nothing wrong with that. If I'm better, I'm better, right? So they shouldn't go with that argument. That would be a very terrible argument. What they stressed was, you're taking advantage of developers. You're punishing them in certain aspects. You're restricting access to your technology.
Okay, fine.
So
imagine
where the issues are.
Imagine I'm running a low-funded startup, right? specializing only in one very, very niche part of the market. I specialize in smartwatches, right? How do I compete? Because I may make a smartwatch better than Apple's. I'm a small developer. I'm coming through. I've got this amazing product.
Yes.
But because I'm supposed to make all these other things, people won't take me seriously. I don't have the resources to go make a comprimende, or I don't know what the right word is, a corresponding laptop, a corresponding cell phone, a corresponding
set of headphones. This is what I'm saying.
If I'm the developer, the new startup,
yes,
the young kid who just came out of university and is doing this amazing thing, what do you say he must do with his very, very fresh product?
What I would say is you better support the shit out of this lawsuit that the DOJ is slapping Apple with, because the lawsuit is for that kid, right? For that young entrepreneur. This lawsuit is for them so that they have access to Apple technology. Because again, as a developer, you have to know some certain intricacies of how iPhones would function, right? Because you need access to, it's like if I'm going to make let's keep it with that, right? If I'm going to make something that's going to work with iPhone, I need certain access to certain types of data to make sure that on all ends my watch is going to function to its fullest potential, and Apple is not allowing that, and that's where the problem is, Yabo. They're not allowing that young entrepreneur to then know, so let me modify for this for iPhones, right? So that the towels of the world can be like, oh, this is a really cool watch. Let me dump my Apple Watch and buy this guy's watch, right? That's what Apple is stopping, and that is violating antitrust laws. However, if his watch is just simply not good enough, Apple goes, no, here's our code, here's this, here's that, have a great time, and you still make what I deem to be an inferior product, or it's just not enough for me to ditch my Apple Watch, then that's fair, because you did your best. I compare with this Apple one, even if yours is slightly better, it's just not enough for me to buy something else, right? It's like Adidas and Nike boots, right? So if you remember, Rayon used to be so committed to Nike, and I'm a Venom and Mercurials and whatever, right? Even if Adidas is coming out with fire boots, like at some point there's a certain threshold for you. If you just feel you're comfortable with Nike boots, Adidas has to come with something so good that you're like, nah, I have to leave Nike. And that's fair, right? That's fair. But if for some reason Nike was developing some sort of thing where, I don't know, Adidas cannot develop a shoe that's good enough because they've patented maybe the way the studs are put, you know, the order of it, right? And it's the only way that supports human feet, for example. So meaning that no one can order their studs in that way, then that is monopolizing something, because now you already know that Adidas boots will mess up your feet, right? Who would want to buy boots like that?
That's
what we're trying to correct. Yeah, but that's what we're trying to correct with Apple. But if it's a case of my product versus your product in a fair economy, let's go for it.
Yes, go.
Let's do it. I'm all for that. Yeah. No. I'm there with you. I'm just saying, when you have an ecosystem, it's just that extra consideration that you have to make, right? You want to buy a Dell XPS computer. Is that extra consideration of like, ish, when I'm now moving files, you know, do I really want it? It's that extra thought. And that's what Apple has done brilliantly in terms of keeping people there. And there's no issue with that, because it's not stopping Dell from developing the best computer in the world. It's not stopping Dell at all. So that's fair, right? And no one said you can't make your own, ecosystem. Obviously, it takes money, it takes so many other different things. Yes, we know that. But it's still, that's just how life is sometimes, right? It just is. There's a lot of people who have jobs right now because their dad plays golf with Spidey-Man, right? My dad doesn't play golf with Spidey-Man. But that's just how, that's how life is. I can't be like, oh man, it's not fair. My dad doesn't play golf. Well, my dad should have played golf. It is what it is, man. Sometimes it is what it is at the end of the day, right? So in terms of the ecosystem, 100% I'm with Apple. but don't restrict the competition. That's where I jump off the bandwagon with Apple, and I hope it is overturned. I hope it is not 10 years that we get a ruling, 2030s or 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
At least in the next year or two, if they just settle and say, all right, fine. We're going to do this, and the third. Because again, the EU is still on their ass about other things.
Yeah, so the EU is very strict, actually, just in general, about
they don't play
technology and protection of privacy and just trying to encourage good business practices. They are stricter.
Do you know that they're suing? They're suing, of course, America loves money. The EU is suing, not suing, but they're inquiring specifically in the Chinese electric car market. So there's a company called BYD. I think it stands for like Build Your Dreams, which is so Chinese.
That is anyway, very Chinese.
So BYD is dominate. They're actually China's number one electric car manufacturer right now. They're scaring Tesla. Scaring Tesla so much that Tesla slashed prices by almost 30% of new Teslas last year, right? So they're driving the price of EVs down. They're starting to export. They're aggressively in Dubai, Australia, other parts of Asia. And I don't know if they're in South Africa yet. But anyway, what a lot of these Chinese manufacturers, namely BYD, have done is that they're coming in so far under market. So for one of the cars, which is the BYD Dolphin, which is like, I guess it's an electric Kia Picanto. I think that's the best way to describe it, right? For that car in China, it's £10,000 brand new for that car, electric, right? When it comes to Europe with import taxes and tariffs and whatever, it's about £25,000, right? Which is way lower for the same type of vehicle coming from VW or from Kia or from any of these other standard, you know, long-standing car manufacturers. So what the EU is inquiring is they're basically saying to BYD, guys, how are you able to be profitable and have your cars be so cheap? How subsidized by the Chinese government are you? We need you guys to be honest, because we do not believe that if BMW is saying that their BMW hatchback iqalisa at £40,000, lina lisletini mota iqalisa at £25,000.
Bro.
Like, make the maths make sense. So the EU really just be they're like the international Karens, bro, because that's just wild. Like, what? It's none of your business, fam. Like, honestly, me as a consumer, I'm like, fam, give me the cheapest car, because that's what they're afraid of, right? Which is, if we let these guys import their cars into Europe, people are not going to be loyal to, oh no, we're German, so 100%. Therefore we're buying Porsches and beer.
And
chief,
the way life is tough. And the way South Africa is captured. South Africa is captured in a very funny way, in the sense that the cars that you drive here are mostly German. But I don't think Germany necessarily makes the best cars anymore, especially for middle class upcoming people.
You know, they've gotten way too expensive.
I think,
I
look at the price of a Polo.
The 5 Series that you buy in Dota is easily, what, you're looking at maybe 400,000 dirhams for like a pretty good, well specced out 5 Series, and what, 400, that's 2 million rand for a 5 Series brand new. That's crazy.
It can't be. But then you look at what Chinese are doing, disgusting. And you're like, that's actually a Haval is better car, and it's more affordable than a Tiguan, even though a Tiguan is
at a much higher price. The irony, sticking with BYD, they started out as a battery manufacturing company, and that's how they've gotten into the electric car business. So because they manufacture a lot of the batteries for Tesla. Tesla buys their batteries from BYD. So in terms of durability and the quality of battery, at the end of the day, these are the experts, and they've shifted into the automotive market. So for them, costs are always going to be low, because the most expensive part about an electric car is the battery. Right, that's what makes them, on average, like BMW, let's say whatever 5 Series, the electric version is always going to be more expensive than the combustion engine version, right? Because batteries are more expensive. So, if you're able to produce them at a cheaper rate, then you're always going to be able to sell them for a cheaper price, and you're going to undercut the market. But I know, shout out to China, but China is doing the Lord's work. I'm sorry, there's a lot of hate for China by the Western powers, but from me, from my vantage point, China sees I'm struggling, and they're like, chief, Nancy Motenji. You know what I mean? Like, there's a realistic dream of us as young professionals peeling the plastics of a brand new car before 40 years old, if you really wanted to, right? And that's because, shout out to China. So yeah, equalize the markets, bro. These companies are taking the piss. Toyota, some of the audacity of like Toyota, Nissan, some of these companies, fam,
like the price of a Hilux kills me. Like, it actually fascinates me. If you go look for a Hilux compared to even a Ranger, actually a Ranger's a bit cheaper. You go look for a Hilux,
Ford Ranger,
Ford Ranger is cheaper than a Hilux. Hilux is now like luxury vehicle status in South Africa.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not, bro. Some of these cars, dialogue, Nissan hardboard, even Hilux. Hilux was dialogue hanging among us. It was a great car. It's like, hey, listen, you need a motor, come back higher.
Exactly.
You know, Hilux, and it's like that. It was doing a job, right? It was a man's car. Now it's like, nah, bro. Like, a Hilux cannot be competing in price with the X Class here, Mercedes. Like, that just already there, you know. Something is wrong, fam. Like, these guys are really taking the piss. These car manufacturers, which is, I'm like, no, anything pro China, because initially people are like, hey, you know, and it's so funny. So when some of these Chinese cars started coming out, right, the Havals and all these other items, and they were looking very, like, almost exactly, it looks like an X6, or it looks like a Porsche, or it looks like all these other cars that we know, right? People are like, hey, if you don't have the money for a Porsche, don't pretend. Like, those were the initial opinions. Remember, it was Twitter.
Yeah, because I think the
gatekeepers.
I think, was it the Haval H4 that was shaped a bit like a Porsche? I'm not sure. Is it the Jolion or the H something?
I think there's a Jolion, and I know the H6. I know people say it looks more like the Jaguar F-Pace. It looks similar to that. Or the Alfa Romeo, I think it's like Stelvio or something like that. It's in that type of shape, right? But then there's that other company like Changan, whatever it's called. They have a car that looks exactly like a Porsche. Is it Cayenne, right? Same shape. Even if you see it from a distance, you'd think it's a Porsche. So, and then you have Jetour T2, which basically shares the same body as the latest Defender from Land Rover, right? So people see you buy that type of car and they're like, no, hey, Senna, if you want a Defender, go and buy it. No, I don't want a Defender. I can't afford it. Defenders cost as much as 3 million rand in Dubai, if not 4 million rand. Like, it's okay. Me, I know I'm not there. Like, it's cool. And even if I had that type of money, like, fam, give me the Chinese car. Give me the Chinese car. It's going to be brand new. I peel plastics off and I'm happy. And I'm not paying an arm and a leg. Imagine a brand new car, so you can get it, 400,000 rand for a brand new, like, Haval H6 or Jetour, or a lot of these other Chinese brands, right? SUV, 400,000 rand. Brand new, and you're peeling plastics, 2024. what Tiguan are you getting for 400,000 rand?
No, you're not getting a Tiguan. You're not getting a Tiguan for 400,000 rand.
Even a freaking CRV, Honda CRV, you're not getting that for 400,000 rand, bro. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah, it's not.
But anyway, hopefully these things. Shout out to China, man. Shout out to China. But anyway, guys. I have gotten a notification from management that I am 13 minutes over time.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Obviously, I know where my bread is buttered. I'm going to leave you.
I heard a knock on the door.
So both sets of management have said, hey, stop this thing. So the thing must be stopped. The full-time whistle has gone off on both sides of the pitch. Yes, so
full-time.
Anyway, very interesting discussion. We're going to pick up on TikTok. We're going to pick up a couple other things. Man like Diddy. So we wanted to get to all of that, but unfortunately this week has just been a bit hectic. bad. Anyway, shout out to the people. As you know, like the thing, subscribe to the thing, retweet the thing. And if you don't, we're inclined to believe you are a hater. Mr. Moyer.
Laters.